He is the new voice of talk radio, Alexander Danilov.
Well, that was a bit loud, but welcome back to Solutionsology Radio. I am Alexander Danilov, my guest tonight, 30-plus year journalist. He was the editor of Money Magazine. He's now the editor-in-chief of the Healthcare Detective.us site, the blog, an incredible site, a ton of content on there. We're going to be talking about healthcare today. We're going to be talking about his book, Your Best Healthcare Now. The importance of it has never been more than it is today of healthcare and the changing landscape, especially with the new Affordable Care Act. So I'm very honored and pleased to have Dr. Frank Lally on the show tonight. Thank you for coming. I gave you a promotion just like that. They come easy. So congratulations on your book, for sure. I know it's after everything you've did, you decided to go a little crazier and to go a step further and actually and write a book on this, which really is a culmination of all your work, which I appreciate.
Well, it took me 3 years to write this book, but, you know, it comes out of a bit of bad luck. I've had a tremendously lucky life, except a couple of years ago, I got a blood cancer called multiple myeloma. Now, it's not curable yet. But I can tell you, it's highly treatable. But here's the other really bad break I got along the way, and what actually inspired the book. My old employer, Time Inc., stopped covering my drug costs, all drug costs. They had once capped it at $1,000 a year. They got rid of that completely. Now, here was my problem, Alexander. I was taking a drug that's keeping me alive that cost $570 a day. So if Time Inc. isn't going to cover that cost anymore, what am I going to do? But look, mm-hmm. I understand a business decision, but here's the fiasco. No one could tell me what the drug would cost me in the coming year. Nobody could tell me. I called 16 institutions. I made 70 phone calls. I finally ended up writing about it in the New York Times. And the story went viral, and you know what? People sent me letters in worse situations than I was in. Mm-hmm. Because I found a grant that covered the entire cost of my, covered the entire cost of my drug. Other people were not in that position. They were even in worse shape. Yeah. So at that point, I said, you know what? I think I really have to write about this, and that's what I did. It's 3 years, and I interviewed more than 300 people. I've got a lot of really practical, as you know, looking at the book, I've got a lot of practical ways to get discounts from your own doctor, okay, get better health insurance and save money, and, you know, affordable prescriptions. I mean, there are 18. I mean, I got one chapter that has 17 different ways to save money on prescriptions.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. Now, with the Affordable Care Act and the advent of that, and the changes to laws, prescription drug plans, things like that, that are always changing, the skyrocketing premiums and employers, unsurprisingly, passing that along to people. So now people, for the first time in really a long time, have had to take healthcare into their own hands again. Now there's a topic of being healthy and living a healthier lifestyle, whatever that'll give us. But again, like in your situation where of course, unluckiness of your diagnosis and the diagnoses of so many people that are out there and that what they, you know, the cross they have to bear, they don't know what to do, where to go, and what, and it'll literally, if, you know, the ailment that you have doesn't, take the hair off your head, all the, you know, all the rigmarole that you have to go through just to try to get some semblance of an answer will drive you crazy enough, maybe sometimes worse than the ailment, and that is really disgusting in today's society.
Yeah, no, listen, there's no question, and I think you put your finger on a couple of things, but I mean, I look at these high deductible health insurance policies. Now, one-third of the large companies in this country now have high deductible health insurance as their only option. That's all you can do, okay? There's nothing else. There's no comprehensive group health any longer where the entire workforce covered each other. Now you're really on your own, and you can take a deductible. Some are reasonable. Some are, you know, $1,000 or $2,000. Some are up to $10,000 or $15,000. And you know, I don't have that money laying around in my kitchen drawer, I can tell you. So this is driving, they're attached to often to health savings accounts, which will, it's fine. It's a portable savings account. You can spend the money on your health care. It's okay if you stay healthy, you build the balances. But if you get mm-hmm. sick, you're going to drain those balances. So at the end of the day, these high deductible plans, I think, and you know the Affordable Care Act? I'm in favor of the Affordable Care Act in principle because mm-hmm. it's covered 20,000 people who didn't have insurance. But, and you know, people who are critical of the Affordable Care Act have a valid point. It is not affordable to people who are not getting generous federal subsidies. So if you're making more than $50,000, as the President of the United States said, the former President of the United States, Bill Clinton, said the other day, these deductibles get crazy. The plan gets yep. crazy. You can be $3,000-$5,000 in the Affordable Care Act plan if you don't have sizable subsidies to you know, to allow you to upgrade a plan with a more reasonable deductible. I know firsthand. I've arranged it for friends. I know firsthand.
Well, Frank, you know, the foundation, obviously, few people know as much as you do about the Affordable Care Act, obviously, from a non-emotional, strictly non-biased perspective, because you obviously study healthcare, you've investigated, you are a healthcare investigator, as you dub yourself. But the principle of the act also is for healthy people to go in, and obviously everyone's forced into a healthcare plan of some sort, and the healthy people that don't use the system kind of subsidize the ones that do use the system, which are the ones who are sick. And that's what a lot of the complications are becoming with that, and more is going to start coming out, especially after the election, from things I'm reading. Now, some of that is political stuff and political kind of retribution, so to speak. Other parts are really scary stuff because people are seeing their, you know, every 6 months, every year, open enrollment time comes, and people are terrified because, A, it's very hard to understand what's going on. Obviously, your book covers that. So let's talk a little bit right. about those options and how it can help people you know, be a little calmer and be able to sleep at night, because healthcare costs are literally bankrupting a huge chunk of our society.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you know, drug costs and all the rest, they're really skyrocketing. But I try to keep the book very practical. So, look, you don't have to use your insurance. You don't have to. If the coinsurance is very high, is the deductible very high, in many cases, you know, in clinics, not in provider, like radiology clinics, with your own doctor, they're a standing. If you sit down, look them straight in the eye, and say, "Look, I just can't afford this, and here's why," be sincere, uh-huh. really lay it out. These places have discounts policies in place. They cut prices in half. You know, they treat Medicare patients. Why can't they give you the Medicare rate? Okay? There are a lot of ways that you can do a little bit of research. ClearHealthCosts.com will give you general prices. You can walk into your doctor's office and say, "Hey, look, you know, meet this price, and here's why you should do me this favor." Doctors will do it. They go into this profession because they want to help people. They see the costs. And they don't want the dollars to get between them and their patients, not the good doctors. And I've talked to a lot of them. They're very compassionate people. So if you can look them in the eye and be sincere, you can get a discount.
Now, here's the thing, though, Frank. A lot of the issue is that there's not a set price. For example, where you are, where I am, if we each go to a Best Buy or go to any electronic store and want to purchase an iPad, we're going to see the same price, unless they're running this particular sale. But we're going to see the same price. Is a manufacturer's suggested price? Is a standardized price? When we go to California, Texas, Seattle, wherever we go, that price is the same. But for healthcare costs, it's different. And it's not just because of the type of practice we go to or something like that. There's a big problem with that. We're seeing that with Mylan, and I don't want to do what the media did and just really blow this up bigger than it is, but there is a problem with this. Valiant has a problem with this. So many other companies, if I go somewhere down in Florida, it should be somewhat standardized for blood work or medicine or whatever it might be. There's got to be a better way than what we have.
Well, then, you know, you're talking about a Medicare system. That's essentially what they do. They put in factors for regional differences, but prices, you know, prices have a range, and hey, you know, Medicare dictates prices. I mean, it's really a form of cost control, price control. Now, if you're not dealing with that, if you're dealing with a doctor and you've got an insurance, and then most people, you know, have their insurance through work, right? But the deductible is getting higher, the copay, coinsurance. You can use the variable to your advantage to this extent. Understand that when you're talking to your doctor, he has signed something like 30 different contracts with 30 different insurance suppliers. He has a standard price that he'd like to get for his services, but he negotiates that price with every one of those providers based on the volume of customers they can bring. So obviously Medicaid, Medicare is going to be the lowest. That's why I say in a jam where you can't afford something, you can say to the guy, look, I see somebody out in that waiting room right now who's getting the Medicare rate. Now, all I'm asking is treat me as a Medicare patient, even though I'm only 45, but you give me the same care. Just treat me as a Medicare patient or treat me as one of your lower-cost insurance patients. And he'll say, in many cases, okay, if you pay me cash.
Yep.
So you'll write him a check on the spot, okay, and you get the discount. It's not difficult. You just have to raise the subject. She and he are not going to raise it. You have to raise it. Once you raise it, they're ready for the conversation. Believe me.
But doesn't that create some of it underground?
It's happening a lot.
Right, but doesn't that create an underground market that we want to try to avoid, because then it becomes tax implications and all the other implications out included in that as well. When things are paid in cash, obviously it's very hard to track or nearly impossible to track unless someone's very studious and does actually write it down and report it. Doesn't that create another series of problems? I mean, obviously we have to do what we have to do, you know, and put that in air quotes, but doesn't that create a whole other issue for us, Frank?
You worried about the doctor? It's perfectly legal. It's perfectly legal, and it's you're not breaking any law by paying cash, none. As if you go into a restaurant and pay for services, pay cash, instead of using your credit card. It's the same principle. Now, there's a responsibility on the part of the restaurant that got the money in cash to report all that. There's a responsibility on the part of the doctor who got it all in cash to report all that. But I don't see any other difference.
Gotcha. Well, fair enough. That's obviously a concern for people, including myself, just because you know what happens to people when they get to that world. I came from a system, I know obviously Soviet Union is a little different than what we have today, but at the end of the day, people are people. No one wants to have a higher burden than they already have, and that's kind of the concern is if more people start paying cash, it opens that door for kind of an underground world for it. But there is a lot of wealthy people who have their own version of health. So there's a kind of personalized care in that sense. Do you see the healthcare sector going more that way, or do you see a change coming that will fix the insurance plan right now, or do we go single payer in the next 5 to 10 years, let's say?
Well, you're getting into the politics of it, and I don't know. Hillary Clinton says Bernie Sanders said Medicare for all, right? Just go overnight. There isn't the political will to do that. There just isn't. So Hillary has a halfway measure here. You can buy in when you're 55. Now let me tell you why. That's favorable in some respects. It's favorable because the more young people that get into Medicare, the lower the cost will be because they're healthier than 65-year-olds, right? So it's when you hear lawmakers say the way to fix Medicare is to raise the eligibility age, they are 100% exactly wrong. The way to save Medicare is actually to lower and bring in more young people. So I don't think there's a political will for Medicare for all now. I don't think that Hillary is going to be able to get this half measure of Medicare at 55. If she does, I think it would be a step in the right direction because it would drive down Medicare costs. It would cover more people. Look, the Affordable Care Act, at its best, will cover only 9 out of 10 Americans. You still have 10%. And this, to me, I find very unfortunate about our country, that we don't recognize that healthcare is a basic human right. It is not a privilege. We should have a system that covers 100% of our citizens, and we should have had it already. That's just a basic right. That's part of being a civilized society.
Fair enough. Now, in your book, Frank, Your Best Healthcare Now, we've been talking about this. We've been talking about healthcare as a whole from a higher level, from a little bit more of a micro level, how to watch yourself and watch your back, as opposed to, you know, having to fight off the health insurance companies and all the other chicanery that a person has to go through and weave through in the healthcare industry today. What we didn't really talk about too much is the dental world, and a lot of people neglect this, but dental is very important for people, and it's extremely important because you have problems with your mouth, you have problems with your teeth, you can have problems throughout also, because that's, you know, kind of, that's going through your body, it's going into your system, the bacteria, et cetera, et cetera. So let's talk about dental insurance. You talk about in chapter 10 of your book, and obviously in different parts, but let's talk about that world you know, what you wrote about in the book for the dental side.
So you'd like to hear more about the dental side, right?
Correct. Yeah, dental side of healthcare. I think it's often neglected.
Well, I think you're absolutely right about it in that, you know, there are people out there saying it's a cause of serious illness if you don't take care of your teeth. It can really be a problem. And frankly, we don't have an answer for it. The insurance, so-called insurance policies, which really turn out to be monopolies. There's MetLife in New York. They're just only monopolies in most places. They set the prices the way they want to set their prices because there's no competition. And it really comes down to they more or less cover two fillings a year. You got to pay a lot of extra to get care for real dental surgery. Frankly, you know, I think those dental policies are deeply flawed. I think they're barely insurance. I don't have a fix for it. You're kind of stuck. I'd say get the insurance rather than don't get it. But at the end of the day, I hope your teeth stay healthy. you'll get two cleanings a year, and maybe you save $50 or $75 as opposed to walking into a dentist's office and just paying cash. They're not very good policies. And I've got a chapter devoted to it. I walk you through it. I wish I had an answer, but I don't.
Yeah, it's very complicated for a lot of different reasons. Maybe you mentioned the word monopoly, but increased competition might help that out, or something more radically different. But that's a conversation for another day. There's so much more we can discuss about it. But I do encourage people to go check out your site, healthcaredetective.us. I strongly encourage people to check out the book, which is Your Best Healthcare Now. There's so much in here, so much content, just to keep people awake as to what is going on, how to navigate through the current environment that we have, which is the ACA, a.k.a. the Obamacare legislation that passed several years ago and is going to be expanded as we go along, and fix it as well. There's going to be some changes and amendments to it as well, especially depending on who gets into the White House and who maintains the control of the Senate. But that's a political conversation. Again, I do encourage people to check that out. And you're also on Twitter, so people can follow you there. And that's at Frank Lally. Frank, thank you so much for coming on, for writing this book, and we wish you the best, the best in your fight against your ailment. And
well, thank you, Alexander, and I hope your listeners like the book, Your Best Healthcare Now, practical solutions that they need. Thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Frank.